6 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. How's everybody doing out there today? Anja, how you doing, man? Great job by you. As always, we went out to the press conference, the Ed Lamb press conference yesterday. That's good, yeah. What'd you think? You like him? You excited?
I do. The more I just, from when the announcement, or was when you broke the news to yesterday, from seeing videos, researching about him, and then finally just getting to meet him yesterday and hear his plan and how he is willing to approach this program, I was very impressed.
It's a press conference, so I rarely walk out of a press conference and go, well, that was terrible. This guy's going to be bad. I was confused after Ed McCaffrey's press conference. I was just like, oh, there's a lot of people here. He fielded two questions, and then he went out the door, then came back in, but he didn't really, like, there wasn't questions. This one, you know, again, everything he said, you like. There's nothing about that that I can take away and say, uh-oh, there's a red flag. So, you know, he won the day. Had a great press conference. It was fun. We all got a chance to ask some great questions. I think they were great anyway. And he answered them well. He's, you know, it was some cut-up moments, joking around. Of course, Tanner had to ask him about, you know, agriculture stuff.
Irrigation or something.
well, no, it was funny because what does he grow? Asparagus?
Yep.
He grows asparagus. And I actually like how he tied that in to it takes what? He said, you have that? Here. Is that one of the clips that we have? He's talking about asparagus and like his long-term plan here, and he's equating that to his asparagus growing. Here it is.
We've got a tradition in our family. We've moved a lot with this profession. And every time, even though we know it's a possibility that we may move on someday, be asked to move on or get a different opportunity, we plan on staying. So we purchase a home in town as close as we can. We plant asparagus. If any of you know about asparagus, you can't harvest it until 3 years later.
Didn't know
and
that.
Again, you know, this is not something I read on Twitter or Instagram. This is real. I will show you my asparagus at every house that I've been to. Putting down roots and being a part of the community for me and my family is critical moving forward.
It takes what, 3 years?
3 years.
I did not know that. I'm glad I know that now because I've always wanted, I like asparagus. So you don't like it? You're not an asparagus guy?
It's okay.
I like it. I'm good with it.
I guess I have to like it now.
But I was like, if I ever wanted to plant it, I would be like, hey, I put it in whatever, the summer. When do I get to eat this? Now I know. I'm not going to plant asparagus because I'm not that patient. I will just go buy it. Maybe I'll buy it from Coach. But that's a cool thing. Because I mean, right now, Bears fans in this community are rocked because it didn't work out. And, you know, Ernest Collins Jr. was here forever. And your next hire doesn't last very long. So, and this guy has a good resume. But you're wondering, is this guy going to be in this thing for the long haul? Because it's going to take some time. I mean, I don't. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is which coach is going to have the most success in 2023? And you know, I did not say it was going to be Ed Lamb. My order actually, and this is going to be probably an unpopular one, is I actually think it's going to be Jay Norvell, Deion Sanders, then Coach Lamb. I just think Coach Lamb has a lot more. You know, you got a lot more work to do. Deion is Deion, so he's going to attract these monster recruits, and it's the Pac-12 and all that. Jay Norvell's got the one up because he's been there a year. And I think defensively they're really good. Now if they can get some offensive linemen, they should be really good. I actually think CSU is going to be really good next year. So that's my order. Is that out of bounds? Like, where are you at with that? That's our poll question today. Go vote at thewholeshow.com.
No, I think that makes sense. I told you yesterday after the press conference, it feels like there is a dark cloud over the UNC football program. And I mean that in... there is this sense of something went wrong here. Something went terribly wrong here, and these players got hurt because of it. These players.
Yeah, you said you felt like a cloud.
Yeah, it feels like there's just this dark cloud over this program, and you hear Ed Lamb talk about it, and it feels like the sun is going to break through And when it does, it's going to be shining so bright. Because he talked about getting trust back with his players. And he was asked, do you have a plan for that? And he said there really is no plan other than just being real, being who you are.
I like that he said that there's no plan. Because if you come in with a, hey, Angel, I'm going to build trust with you. Here's my 10-step plan. That's a 10-step plan that I'm going to use with you, and I'm going to use with Tanner, and I'm going to use with Brian. No, I'm going to build trust with you differently than I'm going to build trust with Tanner. Tanner, I'm going to compliment his cows and stuff. You know, we're going to talk about Tua or Alabama or whatever, and that's how you build trust. So I like the fact that he came out and said that. Go vote on this one at thewholeshow.com. Here's the order, according to the Hooligans, for the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Coach Prime, Coach Norvell, Coach Lamb. That is, to me, yes, that's the way it's going to go right now, according to what we're seeing nationally. I just think Coach Norvell, fix your offensive line, and they're going to win games. I don't know about Coach Prime yet, man. I mean, obviously he's going to attract studs. That's number one. Can you coach him? You did it at Jackson State, but what is Jackson State? FCS. Did you watch his sit down with his players at Jackson State? Did you watch that? I retweeted it last night.
He said he was leaving?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was really, I thought that was really good. That was way different than the way I felt. I don't have a problem with him telling the current CU players to enter the transfer portal. I don't. I said that yesterday. But if you did have doubts, go back and watch how he talked to his players there. He was very honest with those guys. He's like, I know a lot of you guys are thinking about entering the transfer portal. I want to sit down with you one-on-one, and I'll tell you whether that's a good idea or not, because a lot of you guys think that, oh, we dominated here with Deion. I can go elsewhere and do it. And he's like, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not the case. I thought he was very sincere. Sitting down, you know, he's got that nice, comfortable chair. He's sitting.
Yeah, he's
I thought that was
just,
cool.
He doesn't just walk in, stand in the middle of the room, say, I'm leaving, you know, best of luck to you. He sits down, gets at eye level with his team, with his players, with, you know, with his kids. You know, you're a coach, you treat your players like family, and he's honest with them. And, you know, that kind of culture that he created there, it'll be very interesting to see if that can transition to CU and how quickly or how long it takes for that to really click.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very, very different personality, and the culture and the way he goes about his process is very, very different.
And he's saying, like, we're thinking to be competitive next year. How many coaches are saying, you know, our goal is to win a championship next year? You know, you heard Ed Lamb say the mission is clear, multiple championships, but he didn't say in 2023. Because that's unrealistic. They're not going to win. They're not going to win the Big Sky Conference next year. No.
I mean.
You can put a dollar on that?
I might.
Well, you know, if you got a dollar.
It's a safe bet.
It's a safe bet.
Plus 40,000 odds, but yeah.
Yeah.
Make some money.
But, I mean, if you're just looking at it logically, no, they're not going to win the Big Sky Conference. I will say, like, who's the quarterback going to be? Is it going to be Jacob Sermon?
It's possible. Obviously, I follow all these players on Twitter as most as I can. And
he retweeted the welcome to UNC.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sure Ed, yeah, I think he talked about it, but he's going to talk to all these players, and he told them, you know, very different from what Sanders said, and we'll talk about it later, but he said, I want these players to not go in the portal. I want
opposite
you to stay here.
Opposite of what Deion said.
And it's completely okay in both situations because
yes.
They're just different.
One's Pac-12. One is going to automatically get you big star recruits through the transfer portal. UNC, you're not getting big star recruits through the transfer portal. You're going to have to get guys, you're going to have to recruit big time and find guys that are, you know, kind of those diamonds in the rough, so to speak. That's what
certainly,
you have to do
and
for
I
UNC.
I think even one thing out of Ed McCaffrey's tenure was they used the transfer portal pretty well. And you got transfers from, like, Washington State with Cassidy Woods and Joe Golden. He transferred out. But you got a lot of players out of that transfer portal that I think the Bears may not use as much this year if they want to build it more organically. But I still think we're going to get some transfers there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Check it out at thewholeshow.com. I think it's going to be Deion that wins that one. I just think that's how it's going to go. People are going to vote on that. But my thought process is I'm going to go with the guy that has the year advantage, and they know exactly what they need to fix, which is the offensive line. Everything else, dude, I would say is pretty good for CSU right now. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check out fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, let's go with it. Great press conference. Excited for this guy. I really hope it works out. Ed Lamb is the new UNC Bears football coach.
To this group, spread the word for us. The mission is clear. Multiple championships. That's an audacious goal. It was an audacious goal when I said it at Southern Utah, a school that had never won a championship in its Division I history. We won our first one in year three, got invited to a bigger conference, won that 2 years later.
All right. And he talks about the challenges that Southern Utah might have been more challenging than what we're facing here at the University of Northern Colorado.
He's a one-trick pony in terms of flipping football programs.
Yeah, that's what he told you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
This is a good question by you.
Thank you.
You feel good about that? This is your first press conference.
I probably could have worded it a little better.
No, it was great. Were you nervous? Were you nervous to ask the question?
No.
Really? Seriously? No nerves at all?
No, it's just a guy. It's just a coach.
Yeah, but it's in front of people.
I'll get to know him a little more, hopefully in the spring.
I like that he said he's going to run with them and lift with them and all that stuff. And I'm like,
the same number of reps, same but amount? Not the same weight.
Like, are you going to do the clean? What do they call it? The clean?
Hang clean.
Yeah, you can do that. He's like, if they can do more than me, then we're in trouble.
Right.
The bad is my confidence in the Nuggets right now. Clark came up to me today of Clark and the coach, said, how you feeling about the Nuggets Trailblazers tonight? I said, I'm not confident. Do I think they could win? I think the Nuggets could beat anybody in the NBA on their best night. But the last three games, they have me a little rattled. I'm a little scared. We'll see how Michael Malone handles that bench.
I don't know what the issues are with them.
I don't know.
You can't point to any one player because they're all struggling.
Jamal's regressed a little bit. I don't think Joker's playing like tied for second in the NBA MVP rankings. I really don't. And you know me, I'm a Joker guy. I love the Joker. I have like 8 t-shirts with Nikola Jokic somehow on those shirts. Some I made by myself. How about that? No, I didn't. The Avs got smoked last night. Our boy, Kyle Fredrickson, told us yesterday, he's our Avs insider, said, if I'm a betting man, which I'm not, but if I was, I'm taking Boston to cover whatever spread that is. And they did. Was it 4-0? And, the Avs are in trouble without Nathan MacKinnon and a lot of injuries. It's stacking up. Can they survive December? Like, right now, I think they're in the last playoff spot. Can they maintain that through this month? Are they going to fall out of it? Are they going to need a monster run in January to make up some ground? So that's going to be interesting. I mean, they have been hit hard with the injury bug. We'll see how they respond. Eastside Chris, text us on our First Advantage text line, 888-888-530. There it is, 888-530-0043. Brady, I finally lost respect for Hackett. You finally did? Like, what took you so long?
Welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club, bro. Supposedly, the Chiefs' losses in the Mahomes era are in the past. Quote, we weren't here. We're here to win the West. Is that a real quote from Hackett? Because you ain't winning the West this year. I don't know that you're going to be a weir next year. So I don't like that response. We weren't here in the past. I get it from everybody. I think even Norvell's like, we weren't a part of that losing streak that started with Adazio. Yeah, but you're the one hired to fix it. So you need to be, you need to know your history or those that, what is it? Come on, those that fail to learn from history
are doomed to repeat.
There it is. Something like that. Britney Spears said that, I think. She coined that quote.
But you should be aware of your rivals, your history
yes.
with your rivals.
Hackett didn't
Isn't
even
there
say
a streak that could be broken if you win this game.
What, the Chiefs have won like 3,000 games in a row.
16.
Is it 16 or 19? What is it now?
I think it's
16?
16. I saw it today.
Jeez. Well, it's getting ready to be 17.
That's at least 8 years.
That's insanity. That's just it's up. It's
Mahomes hasn't been there for 8 years.
No, it's not. So Manning beat the Chiefs. Is it 8 years? Because go back. Because I know Manning beat the Chiefs at least once in 2015. I believe. Could be wrong on that, but we'll talk about it. All right, coming back, the Raiders have a big one tonight. The Raiders have a huge game on Thursday Night Football for an opportunity to try to make a push for the playoffs. How did Derek Carr handle adversity this year compared to how Russell Wilson. I'm forgetting his name.
Is that his other alter ego?
That's how bad things are getting. I called him Randy Wilson, not Russell Wilson. Let's talk about that on the other side. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Noob says it's 13. Is it 13? Okay. All right. We'll take a short break. I got Kevin Lytle on the show coming up at the bottom of the hour. What are things looking like in his neck of the woods? Looking at Colorado State football and basketball's got a big one tonight. We got Kevin talking CSU with us and what they got to do to win. And then our guy Mark Johnson's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour to talk about, you know, what it's going to take for the Buffs to get a win. It's going to be a big night. Big night. Another rivalry night. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I just followed Jacob's sermon and he followed me back. Does that mean he's staying? I think that's a big deal. What did Ed Lamb say yesterday? He's like, I saw a lot of games, including the Wyoming one, that they were in until the third quarter. And I like what it was refreshing because he's like, a lot of times you get a sense of what kind of team you're going to be in that game by the end of the third quarter. I mean, again, he talked about it in more details, but he's like, even if you're up or down, just kind of the trend of that game. And he goes, what I saw was a UNC Bears team that was close mid-third quarter, and it's fizzles in the third, and this team just ran out of gas or whatever, however he put that.
Well, he talked about like the context of a game where it's how does your team respond when you're within two possessions and they kick a field goal and now it's a 16-point game and you're just out of three. How do they respond in that moment? And it's he said it's like in those moments where you lose a game.
Yeah.
Where the team gets one big punch and you just can't get back up.
So, and I got a texter here, an email here. Everything I'm hearing is that UNC is a total rebuild. They really like the new coach hire, but the expectations are not for a massive improvement in year one. The university and alumni have failed to invest in that program or leaps and bounds behind pretty much everybody else in the Big Sky. Well, I guess I would look at that and say, how many players are going to stick around from this current group that made them competitive? Because they were competitive in some games. They got blown out like a stretch of three games in a row. But go back to that Wyoming game. They were in that thing. They were right there. And
even late in the season, there were games where they were up by like 10, 13 points, and then they kind of just, the other team caught up with them. But
and if that's coaching.
It's coaching and talent on this team.
So if it's coaching, then the idea is that Ed couldn't get this team to finish. Ed Lamb maybe can. So what I'm hearing right now, I'm not hearing a lot as far as what the team's going to look like just yet. Let me ask, what's David Hogue's situation? Did he get an injury redshirt this year?
I would imagine so.
Is he coming back?
I haven't seen anything about him staying or leaving.
That's a significant name.
I imagine he was on the student-athlete committee when they talked to players, guys like Cassidy Woods, and I imagine David Hogue was a part of that as well.
What's Cassidy Woods' situation look like?
He either has an extra year or he has a medical year.
See if we can find out Cassidy Woods and David Hogue on Joe. On that side of it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you guys want to shoot us a text, Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Which coach is going to have the most success in 2023? Jay Norvell, Deion Sanders, or Ed Lamb? I don't think Ed Lamb's that far out of the question. I mean, because you guys are just assuming the Deion thing is going to work overnight. And you know what? You have some backing to that. Because of the transfer portal. You do. That's why the expectations for Jay Norvell this year were higher than they should have been because of the transfer portal. But it kind of worked the other way for CSU. The Raiders got a big one tonight coming up on Thursday Night Football. They've won three in a row dating back to beating the Broncos, then they beat the Seahawks, and then they beat the Chargers. They are in the thick of this playoff race. They're 5-7. They have a shot here. They got to win tonight, though. The Raiders players talked about like what Derek Carr means to them. Remember when he was so emotional? Did they lose to the Colts or the Jags? And that was when Derek Carr at his press conference was like, he was crying, you know, and he's like, we put so much into this, and you know, we want to find a way to win, and, you know, it breaks my heart that certain people aren't taking this seriously or whatever. But the players kind of rallied around that, and they've rattled off three straight wins because you had raw emotion from Derek Carr. With Russell Wilson, you're not getting any of that. You're not going to get a breakdown. And again, he's very positive in his faith and who he is and all that stuff. But man, I think sometimes being a leader, if you show some of that emotion about how much it means to you, I think people would rally around that. So you're seeing kind of the opposite. Both the Broncos and the Raiders were both in the same position a couple of weeks ago. You had one quarterback kind of break down and talk about how much he cares about this team. And then you have Russ pretty much just wash, rinse, repeat every single week. Yeah, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to get in. I'm going to do the same things I've been doing for 11 years. I'm going to work hard again. And then I'm going to work harder. I'm going to work even harder the next day. And then just keep working hard. On the other side, you have Derek Carr, who's breaking down on the podium, crying, saying, "We're doing the right things. I don't understand this. I mean, it means so much to me. And it breaks my heart that we're at this point." I mean, that raw emotion can rally people because they know how much you care. I'm not saying Russ doesn't care, right? I mean, if you're at this level, you want to win. They all want to win. But does it keep you up at night? Does it make you cry? Does it force your emotions to reach a certain point to where tears are coming out of your face? And that's what Derek Carr did. And I don't know if that's the reason, but they've won three in a row. They got a leader in Derek Carr. Noob says, question, if there was no transfer portal, would CU still have hired Coach Sanders? Ooh. Well, I don't know. Probably not. Transfer portal changes that because you know he can attract recruit or he can attract guys in the portal. Does that mean he can't, like, can he recruit? I mean, I imagine. Yeah, I'm going
to
say,
I mean,
yeah.
He had to recruit at Jackson State.
They'd still hire him. Yeah. Yes. Because his name can get to those recruits that are 17 as opposed to the ones that are 19 as well in the transfer portal.
On the exposure that he brings just as the coach of Colorado.
Yeah, they'd still hire him.
Yeah.
They'd still hire him. Pretty sure. Pretty positive on that one. All right, 32 minutes after the hour. Kevin Lytle coming up next. We have Colorado taking on Colorado State tonight. Rivalry week, the basketball version of the Rocky Mountain Showdown. And we'll get to that on the other side. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. And you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Seven minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, we're live from the Allo Communications Studios. A big one tonight between Colorado State and the Colorado Deion Sanderses. Joining us now, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. Kevin, my man, it's a big game tonight, my friend.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, this one was always going to be exciting. And kind of like you say, Deion Sanders is kind of unrelated to this game.
Yeah. Kevin, I think we're losing. Kevin, let's see. He kind of sounds like a robot a little bit. Can we see if you can reconnect? Is Kevin, you know, Kevin went to a wedding last week. Did he not return? Is now Kevin, is he a robot? That's what I want to know. Everybody wants to know. Is Kevin okay? Has he become a robot now? Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. We'll see if that's a little bit. Is that better? Is that? You think we got Kevin, my man? Are you okay?
Yeah, you didn't like the robot voice,
dude. Mine does that in the car every time when I put it through a Bluetooth speaker, and I'll be talking, and someone will just go, "You sound like a robot right now. It's really scary. I need to hang up." So mine does it every day.
Yeah, well, it's kind of fun, you know, middle of Fort Collins. There's basically no cell service, so it's always an adventure.
Okay, Kevin, you were talking about what this game means tonight. It's a big one. Both teams really need a W.
Yeah, I mean, both are really desperate, coming off, you know, kind of clunkers, basically. You know, CU, I'll start with them. That I don't know what to make of this team. They are erratic as all heck. I mean, they beat Tennessee, who was, I think, number 11. They absolutely blew the doors off of a then top 25 Texas A&M. They've lost to Grambling State. They blew a 15-point halftime home lead to Arizona State. They lost to Washington. I really don't know what this team is. CU certainly needs a win, especially at home and all the energy. You know, you would think losing a home rivalry game would be kind of a soul sucker for them right now. CSU, obviously, the UNC game, that's a really bad loss. I mean, all credit to UNC shooting lights out, but for CSU, that's a really bad loss. They basically did what we, you know, pretty much said they wouldn't do it and kind of just assumed they could come out and just do their thing and be able to roll to a win. So now they really need a win. That's a terrible resume loss, but if you, you know, win in Boulder tonight, that it doesn't erase that loss, but certainly does a lot of good.
So, yeah, now Rams fans are going to be rooting for the UNC Bears to win a lot of games because it'll make it look better, right? If the Bears can rattle off a few big wins coming up. I know they have the Buffs. I know they have Air Force down the road, too. For Colorado State, though, getting Isaiah Stevens back into the mix. So it's weird, Kevin. Before the week started, I was kind of like, man, maybe UNC could beat CSU. And then you hear that Isaiah's coming back, and then the way they handled LMU, I backed off of that. And I said, oh, no, I think CSU's going to take care of business. And so did the wise guys. I mean, the Rams, I believe, were 15-point favorites. So you're right. As far as those optics are concerned, it was a bad loss for Colorado State. Now can they bounce back? Isaiah's been in the fold for, over a week now, or back in the fold. How's he feeling with everything? That'll be some big questions going into this game tonight.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is huge having him back, especially an environment like this. I mean, there will be 10,000-plus people there tonight. Obviously, it will be kind of a frenzied crowd, and Isaiah is kind of the guy to calm everything down in that type of situation. So, no doubt, it's huge having him back.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Are we expecting primetime to be there tonight, Kevin? Have you heard anything, or is he back to his coaching duties? Because he said he's going to finish that out with Jackson State.
Yeah, I'm unsure. I think everyone's unsure. I've kind of, asked around because, normally you would, kind of get the frenzied, halftime speech or whatever. But there's a lot going on, recruiting time and everything. So, I'm not sure if anyone knows or if they know they're keeping it under wraps. So we'll see. It would certainly create an even bigger excitement if he were to walk out on that court.
Well, and if you're prime time and you're thinking about it, not that he needs any help with press, but it's on ESPN2 tonight, so for him to pop out...
I mean, he's not camera shy.
he's not camera shy, but you just wonder if he's paying attention to the fact that this game's on ESPN2 tonight. So, it would be another opportunity for him to jump out and, make some noise.
Yeah, no, I've wondered the same thing. In normal circumstances, I would say absolutely would be there, but I'm not sure anything prime-related counts as normal circumstances. Not in a bad way, but it's just kind of a different thing that we've never really seen, certainly in Colorado.
Yeah, no question. It's turning college football upside down. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Whether this thing becomes a dumpster fire or works out, it's certainly turning everything upside down. And here you are for CSU and Nico Medved's crew. I mean, you can come into a hostile environment that's really pumped up. They're happy with their basketball team, but I don't think they care right now because they're through the moon. So if you're Colorado State coming in, pulling off a big upset win, I mean, that would be huge with this between this rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, if people don't think that these things transfer over, the energy transfers over, it absolutely does. And we're going to see that tonight. Even, I was talking to Isaiah Stevens yesterday, and he goes, Boulder's pretty jazzed right now. They made a coaching hire. I kind of joke. I said, wait, what? What are you talking about? Didn't hear anything about that. And he just laughs. But, they know, everyone knows, college campuses, that's one of the fun things about them is energy, especially positive energy, can kind of course through, a whole department, a whole, student base. And I think there's no doubt that the, all those CU students that are fired up about Prime, it's like, well, we can't go cheer for Coach Prime for a while, so let's go get rowdy about the basketball game because that's the next closest thing. And, it's a showdown prep. CSU is going down to Boulder in football next year as well, so this is kind of just round one of the fight.
Yeah, no doubt. It feels exactly like that, like this fight. For CSU fans, too, I mean, I can hear it on our text line. I'm sure you're getting the comments and stuff, you know, where people are like, this move's not going to work out for Deion and all that stuff. You know, I've always been of this mindset, Kevin, where I want it to work out because I want both teams to be good, because I want both, when those games happen, it adds so much extra juice to them. I want CSU next year in football to storm out of the gates, and by the time they take on the Buffs, both teams are looking really good. I think that just makes it bigger for the area.
Yeah, no, I'm always of that mindset as well. You know, winning teams, you know, this showdown, there's going to be a lot of interest, and not just in Colorado, and a lot of that is because of, you know, the hiring of Coach Prime. That's great, and, you know, I think we all know that next year probably neither team is a conference champion in their league, most likely. Just because of the size of the rebuilds. But, hey, you know, what about 2024 when CU comes here? You know, is it possible that both teams would be, you know, really high level? That would be great. You know, I want those teams, both teams, winning in this state, because football's just been irrelevant here for a while. You know, you throw in the Broncos being terrible, and it's just bad football everywhere. It'd be nice to have a change of that.
Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and we'll have Rams Weekly coming up at 5 o'clock today. Bust into all things basketball, Rocky Mountain Showdown, and maybe a few things on the football side of things, too. But, Kevin, going back to that game against UNC, you're feeling really good about Colorado State. They're, what, 6-2, 5-2 without Isaiah Stevens. So you're like, man, we're playing with house money. Now we got Isaiah back. We can really rock and roll here. What was it about that game? I mean, you talked about the mentality of maybe some of those guys overlooked them or whatever. But, you know, they couldn't get Tanjay really going. James Moores, I thought, was going to have a monster game because the Bears struggled so much in the paint. But those two guys really didn't take off in that one.
Yeah, and it just seemed pretty lackadaisical defensively. You know, Medved had some pretty strong quotes after the game of, you know, basically we tried to play it like an AAU game and just score. And, you know, the offense was fine. CSU, you know, scored efficiently and plenty of points, but just never really turned it on defensively. And, you know, the thing that happens, you know, every year you're going to have a few games where you just don't have it. Your energy is low, whatever. You know, it's just a fact. But can you find ways through those? You know, I think the UNC game last year was one as well. But CSU found a way through, and they have a few of those. Northeastern last year, CSU found a way, and once they got back on top late, they kind of, you know, put their foot on the throat of the opponent and buried them. And you kind of wondered when CSU got that really brief lead with about 4 minutes left if they were going to do that. But I think the team kind of just thought they would as well and didn't really make it happen. So, yeah, it was just a mentality letdown in a lot of ways, which is pretty surprising from this team and makes me really, I guess, interested to see how they respond tonight.
Yeah, Isaiah Stevens kind of did his thing at the end of that game especially. You know, that game, Kevin, you know, I was sitting next to Jerry. They actually let me do the game, so that was exciting. I'm thinking, man, this feels a lot like last year. The Bears had a nice lead, or at least, you know, they were up throughout most of the game. But here comes Isaiah Stevens. I mean, he had some plays. I mean, he had a reverse layup that was just sexy, dude. I mean, it was fantastic. So I thought, uh-oh, he's going to get going for CSU here. Watch out. But unfortunately, UNC continued to score right back. They continued to fire back with their threes and get to the free throw line. So it just wasn't quite the same. But Isaiah still did his thing.
Yeah, he looks, again, if you watch these first two games with him back, you wouldn't know that he had you know, a serious injury and been out. He looks totally fine, you know, other than a few minutes restrictions. He basically is himself. So that's a really good sign for CSU moving forward.
Kevin, my friend, I'm looking forward to Rams Weekly coming up tonight at 5 o'clock with you and Mr. Abshire. What are you working on? Pre-game stuff, I suppose, that we can check out at the Colorado one in the meantime.
Yep, got a story online right now about the renewed rivalry. It's been a long time since they've played. Barely any of these guys have ever played against the other. So kind of a new rivalry for the players, even though fans get fired up about it. And then obviously I'll be at the game tonight with coverage from that.
Kevin, let me ask you this real quick before I let you go. We have a poll question. It's asking, like, which coach is going to have the most success in 2023. I'm still going with Jay Norvell. I know everybody's talking about Deion Sanders and what he's going to be able to do with the transfer portal and stuff, but, I mean, if the Rams can fix their offensive line, then I think Colorado State is going to be a really good football team next year.
Yeah, no, I think it's probably a pretty easy, honestly, choice for CSU, and partially just look at the schedules. I mean, CU has a pretty brutal one, and, you know, I know, you know, Deion is going to be able to recruit some pretty high-level guys, but, you know, that's a 1-11 roster you're fixing. You can't sign 85 guys in 1 year. Well, and technically you can, but that's unlikely. So as we kind of saw with CSU, it's sort of a similar thing of it's a really, really, really big rebuild, and he'll make strides in year one, but CSU will have more wins next year. I would pretty much guarantee it.
I'm with you on that, my friend. Kevin, we'll talk to you today at 5 o'clock. Looking forward to it, as always.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it as well.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. A big one tonight between Colorado State and Colorado. We'll have Mark Johnson on the show in the 1 o'clock hour to talk about it from his perspective with the Buffs. Maybe he's heard something that primetime's going to – dude, I think he's going to be there tonight. I know that everyone – you know, Brohard told us the other day that he's probably back getting ready for his game with Jackson State and stuff, but, dude, it's on ESPN2. This is a prime opportunity for primetime.
I think I saw a tweet yesterday that said he was allegedly going to be back in Colorado this week.
Yeah, he'll be there tonight.
I'd imagine he'll be there.
I wonder if DraftKings has a special, like you can bet on that. Throw a dollar out there that Deion's
going to call some kid in Boulder. Probably you could bet on
Somebody's
that.
Probably seen him around. Anybody in Boulder that's listening right now? I don't know what our Boulder listenership is, but anybody in Boulder running around right now and they just happen to see primetime eating a Subway or something like that? Maybe so. Holyoke says, when you have the mental image of Deion as a player, what uniform do you see him in? For me, it's the Falcons and the kick return game. For me, it's the Cowboys. It's always the Cowboys. I mean, I know the Falcons, what he did, but it... Me growing up was when, like, I was starting to get into football more and more. He was with the Cowboys at that time.
I'll say Falcons.
What about the Ravens? He was on the Ravens. Tail end. Go look. He had a weird number, too. Go check that out. Who were his teams? I'm blanking out. I know there's three.
He was drafted by Atlanta.
Okay.
Did a one-year stint with San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, of course.
Then he was in Dallas for about 5-6 years, did a year with Washington, and then he retired for 3 years, and then came back and did 2 years with Baltimore.
It was so weird, because you're like, man, that was when I graduated. And you're like, Deion's back in the league? Let's go! And then it was just kind of interesting. But it's got to be between the Falcons and Cowboys, as far as who you're thinking of.
I just think of the Falcons and the black bandana and that, like the Dirty Birds look. I love that.
He was kind of a bad. He's always kind of a bad boy.
He
when
embraced
he played.
That culture in Atlanta for sure.
Yeah, but that star for Deion, man, I don't know. All right, 11:51. The time. Good question, Holyoke. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the Nuggets a little bit. We also have our lunch rush coming up at noon. You don't want to miss that. Very interesting stories. Micah Parsons is in trouble now for tweeting. My goodness. He didn't tweet my goodness. I'm saying my goodness. We'll talk about all that and more coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Fast moving first hour, man. That's when you know you're having fun. We have the lunch rush coming up next. There was a trade that happened between the USA and Russia. We'll talk about that. There was a tweet that happened about that trade. There was a Kyrie Irving story. There's a lot going on in the world of sports and other stuff surrounding sports. Stick with us, man. We got a lot to get to and only 2 hours to do it. Let's rock and roll. Hooligans, let's go. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.